Matthew chapter number 4. I don't know what kind of stories you like to read, or maybe like missionary stories. Anybody like missionary stories? Anna, do you like missionary stories? Yeah, me too. Maybe like military stories. Any guys like to read those military stories? Those against all odds, they go into this circumstance or you know, they go in to take out an army with four bullets and somehow win, you know, things like that, you know. And there's no greater soldier that exists than the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter number 4, sorry, I was in the other passage there. Matthew chapter number 4, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and he showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." And saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you that we know that through you we can have victory. Lord, through your word, and God, we thank you for that. We thank you for the promise. Thank you for the example. And God, I know many a Christian to be struggling with either the world, the flesh, or the enemy himself. God, I pray you'd help us to get victory tonight. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ, when tempted by the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life, he responded with this simple phrase, "It is written." It is written. You know, in 1 John, if you turn there, 1 John chapter number 2, in verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world," 1 John 2:15. "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." The devil never came to me and put me on top of a pinnacle and say, "Do this and this will be yours." But I have been tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And if we examine Matthew chapter 4, those were those tests. Those were those temptations that the devil himself came to Jesus and tempted him with. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We are tempted in these areas. Not only have we been tempted in these areas, we have probably fallen in those areas. In Ephesians chapter number 6, the Bible encourages us in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the temptations of this world are a regular occurrence for the Christian. If you think, I'll just get closer to the Lord and those temptations will stop, those attacks will stop, you've been deceived. It almost feels like the closer you get to the Lord, the more they show up. But God has helped us. God has given us a weapon. You know, no army would go into battle knowing that their weapons were defective or inferior. I remember seeing some pictures from World War II, and to make the army look bigger, they had blow-up Jeep. Am I making this up? All right. Blow-up Jeeps and blow-up tanks. They were made of, they were like bounce houses, but they were just, they looked like tanks. So when the enemy looked through with the, they looked real, but if you took one of those into battle, Nate, it would not withstand. It would not withstand a thumbtack, much less a bullet. I would not feel comfortable going into battle if my commanding officer gave me a rubber gun or a knife made of cardboard. Although it would look maybe right, knowing that it was inferior or defective. In Romans chapter number 8, in verse 31, it says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And we have a proven victory, conquest in times of temptation and attack. And it is the Word of God. Christ gave us that example. Jacob, he said, when he was tempted, he responded with, "As it is written." As we look at Ephesians chapter number 6, God encourages us, "Wherefore take unto you," in verse 13, "the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." In verse 14, he starts by saying, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." The Roman soldier always wore a tunic. This was a loose-fitting type of clothing. But if you were to go into battle, the battle that they were fighting was very much a hand-to-hand combat. If you've ever, I remember when the kids were going to watch like the Huber kids doing Taekwondo, remember that? And they'd have these really loose-fitting things, and then they would take a belt and tie it around, and it would keep it tight. Well, that's kind of the same type of thing here. Having your loins girt about with truth, they would wear a belt to hold this loose-fitting tunic close. This was a large leather belt, and it was essential. It would hold everything together. The Word of God is that for us. Having your loins girt about with truth. If we're going to get victory as Christians, we better know the Word of God. If when confronted by the enemy, and you don't know the Scriptures to respond, it is difficult to say, "Thus saith the Lord," if you don't know what God says. A Christian must spend time in the truth and must know the truth. Otherwise, he would be easy prey for the enemy. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1. In verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The word of truth. The book you hold in your hand is truth. Man, isn't that a blessing? Look at Colossians chapter number 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter number 1. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Thankfully, Wednesday, something's going to happen. Say, what is that? Political ads will stop. Whether you listen to the radio or you listen to watch TV or whatever it is, political ads will stop. Ever watch those political ads and just go, I don't think what they're saying is true? I'm thankful to be able to open up the scriptures and know that it is the truth. 100%. The Christian soldier must be prepared each day. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, in verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. What should we be studying, Zeke? The word of God. Truth. If we're going to have our loins girt about with truth, this is the thing that holds everything together. This is the word of God. We better know it. We better read it. We better study it. We better memorize it. I'm encouraging our Sunday school class to memorize verses. You want to treat as an adult, try and memorize some verses. Hey, the kids do great. Memorize passages. Hud, you're working on what psalm? Psalm 34? How many verses you got down this month? Yeah. 15. Great. He works on them, and he does them, he recites them, practices. And you go, man, I wish. Well, you got to try it at least. You got to give it a go. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's a sad thing when God's own people don't know God's word. There's a lot of fear. There are a lot of doubts. There's a lot of misunderstandings about what's happening in this world. Why? Because Christians don't even spend time in God's word. That's a sad thing. I'm going to ask you tonight, believer, do you spend time in the truth? Do you know the truth? Is it the thing that keeps you all together, your belt? The Bible will be the garment that will enable us to help maintain a life of purity. It is truth. Back to Ephesians chapter number 6. Knowing the word. Number 2. So we read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. A Roman soldier would not dare go into battle without his breastplate. This was a kind of like a sleeveless piece of armor that covered his full torso. It was made of leather or heavy linen and then overlaid with metal. It would protect the heart, the lungs, the intestines, vital organs. It was the protection to the believer. I just feel like if I'm going into battle for a Christian, the breastplate of righteousness is really important. Christ's righteousness is really important to have in your life. Just one page back, Ephesians chapter number 4. That you put on the new man After that, God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Hey, is there a cloak of righteousness that you put on? Is there a cloak of holiness? Is there an endeavor to do right? Is there an endeavor to live holy at all in your Christian life? As you go out into battle, is there a protection against the most vital parts of holiness, of righteousness? Well, I got a better way. There is no better way than God's way. So, number one, if we know the Word of God, number two, are we going to obey the Word of God? God says, this is what I like. Yeah, but this is what I like. So who are we going to obey? Do we live moment by moment in obedience to God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit of God? Look at Romans chapter number 6, verse 13. Romans 6, 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. You know what that means, to yield yourself? That means I allow you to dictate how things go. I yield. I give up. I obey you. God, you don't obey me. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. And it'd be a lot easier if I could just go to Amazon and scroll through and find a breastplate of righteousness. No. The Christian armor comes from, number one, having our loins girt about with truth, being bound by the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, knowing the truth. Number two, wearing the breastplate of righteousness is an obedience to what God has said in holiness and righteousness. I bet that would protect us a bit. God supplies the standard by His Word, and He supplies the power again by the Holy Spirit. Go back with me to Ephesians chapter number 6. So we have our loins girt about with truth. There's our belt. Number two, we have the breastplate of righteousness, which is our obedience to the Word. This is living right, living holy. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Without proper footwear, the soldier is virtually worthless on the battlefield. Boots or shoes would have been fitted with nails or spikes to give them sure footing. Hold your hand in Ephesians chapter 6, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have been justified by God. I have something to stand on, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, praise the Lord for that. Look at chapter 10, Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. What should we be doing? We should be giving the word. Number one, we should know the word. Number two, we should obey the word. Number three, hey, if our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we ought to be delivering the word. Once again, I may ask you, when was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? The most victorious Christian is the soul-winning Christian. Do you understand that Satan has declared war on humanity? And the answer is found in the pages of the book that we hold in our hands. As a soldier of the cross, we must bring the message of peace and victory. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 18. Romans 5, 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men under justification of life. Hey, are we giving the word? Are our feet shod? Are our feet covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That everywhere I go, I'm a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking to set prisoners free. To bring the free gift to all men that Jesus Christ died and paid for their sins. Go back with Ephesians chapter number 6. In verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There are two shields used by the Romans. Number one, a smaller one, a small shield. It was about a foot and a half to 2 feet round. It would be secured on the arm by a leather strap. The second shield was a bit larger. It was about 2.5 feet wide and about 4.5 feet tall. It was designed to protect the entire body. It was made of solid wood, covered over with metal or an oiled leather. It was carried, they would be carried side by side, often extending even a mile long. So if you can imagine just person after person locking in with these giant shields, that's the ladder that the ladder shield is the one that we're referring to in our passage. The shield of faith. The enemy would shoot or hurl darts or arrows dipped in flammable substance and ignite them. And the large shield would protect the soldiers from these. Sounds like what the devil tries to do to us. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There's something to hide behind. That's our faith. Faith in God's word. When lies and thoughts of doubt are hurled at you, you have a weapon. The shield of faith. Look with me in Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs 30, every word of God is pure. Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Sounds like a shield of faith. What is it? It's the word of God. Thankful I have something to hide behind. God's word. We give God's word. We believe God's word. The belt of loins girt about with truth. That was knowing God's word. The breastplate of righteousness. That was obeying God's word. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That is giving God's word. Here, the shield, believing God's word. The shield of faith. God, I believe you are who you say you are. That'll protect you from some things. Hide behind that. In Ephesians chapter number 6, in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. No Roman soldier would enter battle without his helmet. It was made of thick leather and again covered with metal plates. It would protect the head from injury. You know, one of the greatest battles that a Christian will ever face is what happens in between these two spots right here. The mind. Man, that is a battlefield. Where do doubts start? In the mind. Where do thoughts of discouragement start? In the mind. Where do thoughts of failures start? In the mind. Unresolved conflict. In the mind. Thursday, we preached a chapel message and brought in an old calendar. I was showing the kids this old calendar. Now, we're talking about that and just how foolish it would be to try and live off that 2021 calendar. It's in the past. You know, sometimes the devil will get us tripping up on things that God has long since forgotten. Bible says that He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, Brother Sutliff. That's a long way. He tells me that he takes my sin and he puts it at the depths of the sea. The Bible tells me that God himself chooses to not remember my sins. This is the God who is infinite in his understanding. And he chooses, so why do I remember those? Why does the devil get a foothold on me? Why does the devil cripple my ability to serve God with a simple thought of a failure or a doubt? Because maybe I'm not wearing the helmet like I should. Maybe I don't have that assurance. To be effective in living the daily Christian life, we need the helmet of salvation. This isn't being saved. This is the assurance of your salvation. Hey, you're a child of God. Your sins have been forgiven. God's got a plan and a purpose for you. And the enemy will come by and say, you're worthless. You're no good. You're washed up. Look at all the things you've done. There's no way God can use you. You see? That helmet of salvation, that assurance, understanding who I am with God, discouragement comes. Say, am I weak because I'm discouraged? Elijah had a rough time. Job, Jonah, they were all discouraged. How about doubts? Does God really understand? Ever ask yourself that question? Does he really care? Am I really even his child? Does he know my name? Why are you even thinking that? Because you took off the helmet and you've allowed the devil to get in there. He just took you right out of the battlefield. Receiving the word. Back in Ephesians chapter number 6, in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So far, everything, all of these pieces of armor are defensive. Now we're going to go offensive. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the attacking with the word. This is an offensive weapon. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword varied in length anywhere from 6 to 18 inches. See, that seems small. This is the principal weapon in hand-to-hand combat. This isn't like some big, mighty sword that takes forever. This is quick and powerful. It was carried on the belt, always ready to be used. The sword of the Spirit attached to the belt of truth. Man, I love that thought. The word strengthens us for battle daily. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We're having an issue with our dog. He found a love for bread. I don't know if he's Italian. I don't know what his problem is. But if you leave bread on the counter, literally, and if I walk out of the house, that joker gets up there and eats the bread. He loves it. He'll eat a whole loaf. He'll feel sorry after that, but would literally do it again in a heartbeat. So he'll eat a loaf of bread, and then so we don't feed him for a day. Say, that's awful. Is this child cruel? I don't know. He ate a whole loaf of bread. That's a lot more than what I would have fed him. So we're like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're just not going to feed him anymore today. Because he has literally an entire loaf of bread in him. He's a mess. It's a pain. It really is a pain. Trying to feed teenagers is one thing, but now I got dog eating half of her food. And we're contemplating, we're going to lock him up and cage him and not feed him. because he has so much food inside of him. But sure enough, next mealtime comes around and he's hungry again. He's whimpering. Like he's never had food before. And he doesn't understand time change. So now he's an hour off and it's just a pain. Ever fast? Are you a joyful faster or a grouchy faster? Listen, if you're anything like me, we got plenty in reserve. I'm not starving to death. I'm nowhere close. I could be lost in the woods for days, and I think I'd make it. I really do. I'd get a little bored, but I mean, maybe I need a little drink. But do you starve yourself from the Word of God? I mean, you literally make a decision the night before. I'm not going to have breakfast tomorrow. Instead, tomorrow I'm fasting. Hunger pains like you've never known before hit on that morning. If you miss a meal with the Word of God, do you have spiritual hunger pains like that? Is the Word of God your strength? So how do I know? Well, when you miss it, do you crave it? Hebrews chapter number 5. So why'd you tell us about your dog? I just wanted to get it off my chest. Like, I feel he's eating crazy. He's out of control. Ephesians 5. No, did I say Ephesians? Hebrews. Hebrews 5. 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Verse 13 says, for every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Hey, there comes a time when we transfer from milk to meat, and those are happy days, right? Shows growth. Once again, is your Bible reading filled with, well, I'm just going to read a half a psalm today? That should not sustain you. If you've been saved for any length of time, if you're an adult and you go shopping at Tops, do you go to the baby food section and say, man, what do I want for lunch today? I think I'll have a half a jar of strained peas. That would not satisfy you. That would probably make you mad. Are you satisfied with an incomplete spiritual meal? The Word strengthens us for battle daily. Jeremiah 15, look at verse 16. Jeremiah 15:16 says this, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Do you regularly consume, not actually literally eating the pages of the Word of God, but do you regularly consume the Word of God? Well, Sunday morning's good enough for me. Oh yeah, try that. Week after week, year after year, the only food you eat is on Sunday morning. It wouldn't be too long before you'd find yourself in the doctor's office ill. Hey, it wouldn't be too long until you find yourself at the other hand of the enemy who has gotten a victory because you just weren't strong enough. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Once again, how long do you have to go without physical food before you... Hey, wait a second. How long do you have to go without spiritual food before you stop? The Word strengthens us for the battle. The word is a defensive weapon also. Every attack can be defeated by "it is written." We saw that in Matthew chapter number 4. But the word is also an offensive weapon. The sword pierces through the enemy. Go with me to Hebrews chapter number 4. In studying for this, I noticed something. In this offensive weapon, one of the greatest enemies of faith, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." When I read that, it becomes very personal. And I have to think that the word of God offensively is penetrating my heart. And I have to ask myself, am I an enemy to my own faith? It says that it gets in there into the discern the thoughts and intents of my heart. The Word of God is alive and powerful. And there is a great need for the Word of God. And it needs to penetrate our own hearts. If we go back to Ephesians chapter number 6. As we go through the armor of God, the answer is the Word of God. If we're going to have victory over the enemy, we've got to know the Word of God. It's got to be bound about us. We've got to obey the Word of God. It's one thing to know it. It's a second thing to obey it. We've got to go and bring and give the Word of God. We've got to believe the Word of God as our shield of faith, as that helmet of salvation. How many battles are fought within our mind? And then we need to attack with the Word of God. Hey, if you're struggling with sin, the best thing you could do is to memorize a verse about that. Maybe you're struggling with fear, or maybe you're struggling with some doubts. See what the Scripture says. God has not given us the Spirit. As it is written. As we conclude our passage tonight, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Prayer is the closing theme of this letter. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. Prayer is the spiritual air that the Christian soldier must breathe. The armor is energized through prayer. I remember years ago I was teaching, teens one week, and I had a light bulb. And a light bulb's great. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." But without power, that light bulb's really ineffective. And that prayer brings power to the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful in itself, but you couple that with prayer, that's why he says praying always. The Bible tells us in James chapter 5 and verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. Hey, it's worthwhile. It does a lot. It goes a lot further than just a little prayer. It does exponentially more. In times of testing and trials and temptations, prayer is for God's intervention and deliverance. In times of blessing and victory and fruit-bearing, prayer is for thanksgiving. Prayer is the vital link of communication and fellowship with God. Anytime and all times is the best time to pray. So this week, we're going to go out into the battlefield again. And we will be tempted and tried. The question is, are we wearing the armor? Have we clothed ourselves as the Lord has instructed us. If we do not, we will fall prey to the enemy. Once again, I'm going to ask, how long do you go? Sunday morning, are you scrambling to try and find your Bible? Oh, where was the last time? Oh, it's in my car from last week. Wednesday. Or each and every day, do you open it looking for God to speak to you yet again? What a help. The Lord has laid out conquest to victory through the Word of God. Let's all stand. The weapons of conquest tonight. The very tactics the Lord Jesus Christ used, you and I can use. And that's the Word of God. I encourage you this week, spend time with the Lord in the Scriptures. Spend time in praying. So I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know what to do next. I don't know where to go. I don't know what's... Ask the Lord. Oh, I'm no good. God could never... Stop that. God's got a purpose, and God has a plan for you. Don't let the devil get victory in your mind. We'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, if we were honest, we don't treat it as valuable as you have made it. But oftentimes it is just an afterthought. God, we fall prey to the attacks of the enemy. God, I pray that this week as we go out, that we would clothe ourselves with your armor, all of it. God, you'd help us to get the victory. Lord, we need you. That devil is real and coming after us and our children. Lord, your scriptures are the answer. Lord, help us to bind ourselves with your truth. Watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. And Lord, bless our week this week. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.